This time, if our children could come down front as they go to their service. What a blessing to be able to gather in the Lord's house, to see someone baptized after giving their life to Jesus, and then also to continue worshiping Him in song, and then to gather around the Lord's table together. And so this morning we continue our worship by gathering around His Word. And so if you would, if you'd open your Bibles to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. And as I've mentioned the last few weeks, as we continue to gather toward Easter, we're growing closer to Easter, we're going to survey several passages that speak about the treasure that we have in Jesus. And we're going to focus as much of our attention as possible on Him, because He is the reason why we are here. And so before we read this morning, the treasure that this passage speaks to us about is this: those who believe in Christ will be united with Him in such a way that they possess His life and all the blessings that flow from it. Let me say that again. Those who believe in Christ will be united with Him in such a way that they possess His life and all the blessings that flow from His life. So John chapter 15, verses 1 through 11, where our Lord says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that does not bear fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. If anything does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." Let's pray. Lord God, we praise you this morning for Jesus. And he truly is the reason why we've gathered in this place today, that we open our mouths in worship. May our hearts long for Christ today, to be so joined to Him in communion and fellowship, God, that we desire nothing that He does not desire for us. May that be our prayer today, collectively as one body. Open up our ears to hear your word. Open up our hearts to hear your word. And that we don't just hear it, God, that we desire to do it. And so, God, please give us a will and a heart and a mind more like Jesus, that we would obey you this morning with a love for Him that surpasses all other loves, all other affections. May it be so, our God. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. 11 times in this passage, Jesus uses the word abide. He says abide 11 times here. And Jesus says that it's only by abiding does one enjoy the blessings of the vine. So it's only by being connected to the vine that somebody receives the blessing of the vine. So it's important for us to at least start this morning trying to get an understanding of what the word abide means, since he uses it so often. The imagery that Jesus uses would have been well understood by those in Israel. Think about it. There were many vineyards in Israel. A lot of grapes were planted there. A lot of vineyards, a lot of vines. Much like there probably is in the surrounding countryside here in western New York. If you drive out into the country a little ways, you're bound to cross a vineyard. And so Jesus talks about the grapevine. And generally the grapevine has one trunk. It has one trunk where it draws all the resources from the ground and then disperses those resources, the water and the life, to all the branches that are connected to it. If the trunk were to die, all the branches would also die because they receive their life from it. So if a branch is not connected to the trunk, if it is not connected to the vine, it is going to wither and it's going to die. So if you can imagine a branch connected to the main portion of the plant, the branch has union with the trunk. It is connected to the trunk. It shares the life that comes from the trunk. Everything that it needs for flourishing is found there. Jesus says that this is the way that you and I should be in relationship to Him. Continually abiding, continually connected to Him in such fellowship and such communion that everything that you receive in life flows from Jesus. It comes from Him. Because in reality, you, having placed your faith in Jesus, have been connected to Him spiritually. You have a spiritual connectedness to Jesus, unlike any other communion that you have with anybody or anything else. By faith, you have been joined to the true vine. The true vine is yours, and you partake of His life. His life becomes your life. Wayne Grudem, a good Bible teacher, says this: every aspect of God's relationship to believers is in some way connected to our relationship with Christ. From God's counsels in eternity past, before the world was created, to our fellowship with God in heaven in eternity future, and including every aspect of our relationship with God in this life, all has occurred in union with Christ. So everything that you have in connection or relationship to God comes through Jesus, by you being unified, joined, connected to Him, the true vine. This is something of a mystery to us, isn't it? It is mysterious. It's a spiritual thing. You can't necessarily see it with your eyes, but you know it's a reality by faith. And so by faith, you've been joined to Jesus and everything that He is. We have a spiritual union with Him of the greatest kind, having been submerged into Christ, having been placed into Jesus by God, placed into His death. So you have died with Him in a spiritual way. So the death that He died, you also died. But also the life that He now lives, having been resurrected from the dead, that is your life as well. Being placed into Him, you receive all these benefits and blessings, both His death, dead to sin, and alive to walk in newness of life. That is what baptism a few moments ago symbolized. And so when somebody goes down under the water, it is symbolic of their death, having been placed and buried with Christ under the ground, then being raised to walk in newness of life when they come up out of the water. That's what it means. So we are new creations, and baptism is symbolic of that creation. And so this continual connectedness to Christ is abiding, always connected, always in fellowship, always in conversation. Have you spoken with God this morning? What is your communion with Him like this morning? You come to Him through the blood of the Lamb. You're connected to God through Jesus. So this morning I've got 4 points from this passage that I want to share with you. Things that describe your union with Jesus and the blessings that you receive from that union. And the first one is, because you have been united to Jesus, you have fellowship with God. Look at verse 4. Verse 4 says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." I got a picture up there on the screen of President John F. Kennedy with his son John Kennedy underneath the desk. I think that's symbolic of our relationship with God. It's a privilege, isn't it, for somebody to have access to the Oval Office? Anybody that can come in there and speak to the president. But there's only a few that can call him father, right? And so this little boy up underneath the desk, he doesn't even realize how privileged he is to sit underneath the desk of the President of the United States. Do you realize the privilege that you have this morning, not just having access to the throne of God, not just being able to walk up and talk to Jesus, but to have union with Him, communion with Him in such a way that God now is your Father? What a privilege. What a privilege, what an honor. Not just to have access to the throne, people, but to be able to walk up and call Him Dad, Father. Oh, what a privilege we have as sons and daughters of the King. What was lost in the fall, that close fellowship is being reshaped, recreated. We're not only we're going to live in the presence of God, we're not just going to live in the presence of God, but you partake of His life. You share in His life and are thrust into the loving arms of a Father. And God wants us to know that this morning, that through Jesus, you have access to God, but you also have a Father in God. Jesus provides this for you. Part of the opportunity that I have as a preacher each week is to try to make God as glorious as I possibly can. And He's far more glorious than I possibly could make Him. But in His Word, He describes His glory and His majesty. And I want us to see Jesus as He truly is this morning. We have access to God, the one who created the universe through Jesus Christ. He deserves our praise this morning. Do we realize what a privilege it truly is to know God? And Jesus gives us that. And because you have fellowship with Jesus, you have fellowship with the Father. Because Jesus has fellowship with the Father. And so there is a connection between Jesus and the Father in such a way that they are one. But Jesus then tells us that we have such a relationship with Him that we are connected as one. And so if you start to put together the dots there and try to understand what Jesus is saying, we also have that oneness or that fellowship with God the Father Himself. And so being united with Christ as branches to the vine, this also unites you to the Father. And so the previous chapter, now we didn't get to read that, but here's part of it. John chapter 14, Jesus is describing what this looks like. And He says, "Whoever has seen Me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in Me. Believe Me that I am in the Father and the Father is in Me. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world will see Me no more, but you'll see Me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day, you will know that I am in My Father and you in Me, and I in you. Whoever has My commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves Me. And he who loves Me will be loved by My Father, and I will love him and manifest Myself to him." You see what He's saying here? That Jesus says, "I am in the Father and He is in Me, but you're also going to be in us. And so just as the Father has loved Me, I love you." See how there's a partaking of all these blessings and all these benefits. And so Jesus has partaken of the love of the Father, and now we partake of Jesus, the true vine. We partake of His love as well, a love that comes from the Father. So there is a connectedness that comes from the Father all the way down to us as we have union with each other. Two chapters after John 15, John 17, what a majestic passage where Jesus prays for His disciples, but He also prays for you. He prays for me. Listen to what He says. "I do not ask for these only," and He's speaking of the 12, for the disciples that He has with Him, "but also for those who will believe in Me through their word," so those that will still come later, "that they may all be one, just as You, Father, are in Me and I in You, that they also may be in us." Ah, do you hear that? Just as Jesus and the Father have this union, so also will those who believe in His name later also be joined to them. We are in one another and they are in us, a spiritual union. "Father, that they may be in us, so that the world may believe that You have sent Me, I in them and You in Me, that they may be perfectly one." God wants deep fellowship with you, so much so that you're going to be swallowed up into His glory to enjoy Him to the fullest through Jesus our Lord. Peter makes the grand statement. He says that through, he's talking about God's great promises, you may become partakers of the divine nature. What a huge statement that is. You don't become God. You don't become part of God. But you become partakers of what He has because you have Christ. The second thing that I want you to see from this passage, because you have been united to Jesus, you can now bear good fruit to God. Type of fruit that brings Him glory. So Jesus says four times in this passage that a branch connected to the vine should bear fruit, should only be natural that a branch that is really connected to the source of all life, all resources, is going to have that same life flow into it and then bear fruit to the glory of God. When a branch or a section on a tree begins to wither, it should be cut or broken off so that it doesn't keep the rest of the tree or the rest of the plant from flourishing. There was a time when you and I were not connected to the vine at all. We weren't connected to the vine, and we didn't bear fruit to God, and we didn't flourish in any way to God. Paul says in his letter to the Ephesians that at one time you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Precious words, but now. In Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. And so in Jesus Christ, you have been brought near to God by the blood of the Lamb. You were once not even close to being connected to the vine, not partaking of any of the blessings and promises of God, but now through Jesus you do. Now through Jesus you do. God made everything to bring glory to Himself. Everything's been made to glorify Him. As you walk outside and you see the majestic sun, or you see the mountains, the rivers, the snow that's been coming down, all of these things bring glory to God in some way. You, as the pinnacle of creation, have been made to glorify God. Do you think that it glorifies God when those who were once devoted to unrighteousness and ungodliness have now been transformed in such a way through His Son that you do bring glory to Him by the godly way that you carry yourself and by righteousness that marks your life? So the transformation in and of itself, the miracle of conversion, that brings glory to God, that He would overcome evil in such a way, not only in you, but overall, ultimately, in this world that He has made by the death of His Son. It brings great glory to God when you who once walked in unrighteousness now walk to His glory through the power of His Son. That honors God. That honors Him. So when the miracle of conversion happens, when a person places their trust in Jesus, it demonstrates that God has power over evil. There is nothing that is beyond His control or beyond His power. Even the evil that we witness in the world, that is not superior to our God. He has power over everything, and He has proven it through the death of His Son on a cross, where He demonstrated there is no power or authority or anything in the world that is beyond the scope of His reach. And that's your heart as well. So the evil that was once in your heart that ruled the way that you lived no longer rules. And it honors God and glorifies Him when you walk according to His ways. And so He calls this fruit. This is fruit. And so what kind of fruit is this? What does this look like in somebody's life? Point number three. Because you have been united to Jesus, you possess His love and His joy. You have the love and you have the joy that Jesus Himself does. Look at verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. And so the Father has given this love to Jesus. Jesus now gives that same love to you. And He says, abide in it. Abide in it. Connect to it. You have it. He gives it to you. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. And so if we step back again to chapter 14, at the end of the last chapter, we see something else that Jesus gives to us, verse 27. Not only is it love, not only is it joy, He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. And so Jesus gives us what is His. He gives us what is His, and namely, this is love and joy and peace. And if you know the fruits of the Holy Spirit, these are the first three that Paul gives us in Galatians chapter 5. Love, joy, and peace. You've been joined to Jesus. You've also been joined to His fruit. You've been joined to Him. and then to God by the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so when Jesus says in verse 4 that He is in us, our spirit has been joined to God's Spirit. And the work of the Spirit in you is to bring forth fruit to God. How many of you all have ever had a garden before? A few of you? I'm sure there's probably more. I don't know how many master gardeners are in here, but I'm sure there's probably a few that you know that you don't want weeds in your garden, right? It's not a good thing to have weeds in your garden for more than one reason. It's not just unattractive, right? So if you're wanting to keep a real nice garden, you don't want weeds springing up everywhere. So it's not just good on the eyes to keep them weed-free, but it also is important to keep the weeds out so that they don't sap the life from the rest of the plants that you want to flourish. And so by pulling out those weeds by the root, you leave more resources, more life, more water, more fertilizer, all the things that are necessary for flourishing, you leave those for the plants that you want to grow. And so weeds in a garden aren't just unattractive, they stifle the growth of the good plants. The Spirit of God is at work in the hearts of believers, suppressing and killing the things that you don't want to keep in your life. The Spirit of God works in you in such a way that it suppresses, squashes, holds back, and also seeks to kill those things in your own heart that you don't want to keep there, but also giving life to those things that you do want to see take root and grow. Namely, things like this: love and joy and peace. And so as we live a life of faith and repentance, we sow good seed to the Spirit. And the Spirit continues to feed those things that He desires to grow in us. He produces more of the love, more of the joy, more of the peace, more of the fruit that God desires in our lives. There's one subheading up underneath this particular point. Because the entire moral law of the Old Testament is fulfilled by loving God and loving people. Remember Jesus saying that? So the whole counsel of the law, the moral law, has been fulfilled by loving God and loving your neighbor. Jesus mentions commands here in verse 10. He mentions His commands. His commands are also fulfilled the same way. So if you are keeping the moral law, you're loving people. If you're keeping the commands of Jesus, it means you're loving people. All of these things are fulfilled by love. I mentioned earlier the passages that describe Jesus and the Father being one. We have been brought into oneness with both of them. Jesus shares in the love of the Father, and then you also share in that same love. So you are going to have a life by abiding in Jesus, by being connected to Him, that's going to be characterized by love. And by loving, you will fulfill His commands. If you are loving your neighbor, if you are loving God, you will be fulfilling the commands of Jesus. So if you're sharing in His love, as He says in verse 9, you're going to love to obey Jesus. You're going to want to. Do we ever see Jesus say, "Oh God, I really didn't want to do that. As much as You want me to, I'm just going to go ahead and grit my teeth and do it." He always acted out of love and obedience to His Father. He loved to obey His Father. Loved to. Do you love to obey your Savior? Do you love to? You desire to. Do you wake up each and every day with a longing to obey Jesus? Which means, do you wake up each and every day longing to love? Do you want to love your neighbor? Do you seek to be pleasing to God above all else? If you love more like He loves, you're going to obey more like Jesus does. Last point, number 4. Because you have been united to Jesus, you ask for the things that He desires for you. This is amazing, I think. Verse 7. If you abide in Me, and My words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Have any of you ever used the sync function on your phone? See the little symbol there on the screen? You ever seen that before and clicked it with your phone connected? It means that your phone and a computer or maybe a Bluetooth device are communicating with each other in such a way they start to think like each other. And so my phone now is connected to my radio or connected to my computer in such a way where they now think and communicate and think like one another. They cooperate with each other. As you abide in Jesus, the things of the flesh that you desire are gradually replaced by what He desires. So what you formerly wanted Jesus now begins to replace that in you with what He desires. And so as those things are passed away, your former desires, and you cling to what Jesus now wants, you're going to start to ask for the things that He wants. Jesus loves to give good things to His people, especially when they ask the same things that He already wants for you. Does that make sense? So as the flesh begins to wither and die inside of a person through the power of the Holy Spirit, and the things that God wants are gradually placed inside of you, you are going to start asking for the things that Jesus wants, and you will receive them. You're going to ask for what Jesus also desires. You're going to stop desiring what you wanted all on your own and begin to love what Jesus loves. And as you love what Jesus loves, you ask for what Jesus asks for, and Jesus will give those things to you. It's going to change the way that you ask for things, isn't it? It's not going to be just out of selfish motivation. It's not just going to be what I want. I'm going to be asking what God Himself wants for me. And He's going to gladly give them to us. So ask whatever you wish. Ask for whatever you desire. But you're going to be asking what God desires for you. And He's going to give them to you. So it is going to change the way that we ask. Your heart's going to become more in sync with His as you abide in Him. You're going to love what Jesus loves. You're going to rejoice in what Jesus rejoices over. And you're going to ask for what Jesus Himself asks for. So I've got a few questions for you in closing. A few questions based on what we've covered. And these are just reflective questions for you to think on as we walk out of here today. The first one is do you have communion with God? And so Jesus has given us this illustration of a vine being connected to branches, and the fellowship that they have with one another is so important and so vital that the branches will bear the life and the fruit that comes from the vine. Do you have that type of connection, that type of union with God? Can you say in all honesty that you truly have communion with Jesus, strong fellowship with Him? Do you seek to walk humbly with Him daily? Is He on your mind when you wake up in the morning? Is He on your mind when you go to sleep? Are you asking for forgiveness for continued sin? Are you finding renewed assurance and hope in the gospel? That's what we need this morning. Each person in this room needs communion with God. And Jesus offers that to each one of us through Himself. So come to Jesus this morning and have communion with God. Secondly, is your life characterized by the fruit of union with Christ? Namely, His love, His joy, His peace. Would the people who know you best describe you as a person who walks and knows Jesus? The people that know you best, would they say that your life is a life of love, is a life of joy, a life of great peace as you walk with God? Do you walk with God? And do you bear His fruit? Could your relationships generally be described as loving and warm, characterized by gentleness and kindness? As you are connected to the vine, this is what our lives should look more and more like. Number three, do you want the things in life that Jesus wants for you and for His creation? Do you want those same things that Jesus wants for you and that Jesus wants for His world? Does your heart long for holiness? Do you desire to be holy? Do you hate sinfulness? Do you long for the things of the world or for the things of heaven? Do you seek to make good use of your time and good use of your money? Do you desire to see more people saved that would bring more glory to God? More disciples made? These are what Jesus desires. And those growing in fellowship with Him should desire those things as well. For the answer for all of these things this morning is to come to Jesus, whether it's for the first time in your life that you would come to Him, or you have known Him for 50 years. Come to Jesus and find new life, being connected to the eternal vine. Come to Him this morning. Let's pray. Lord God, we praise You this morning for this vine that You have given us to be connected to, for this union that You have blessed us with in Christ. What a blessed people we are. Give us hearts, Lord, that are full of rejoicing, full of love, full of peace, because we know that we have communion with our God. Our lives should be characterized by praise, Lord, because of what you have done for us in Jesus. So, Lord, please bless us this morning as we close in worship. And, Lord, let not the worship end here, but it continue into all facets and aspects of our life. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.